Let us turn now to 1 Peter and chapter 1. Peter's first letter to the church. Peter, of course, was one of the apostles, Jesus Christ. He wrote 2 letters to the early church. And I want us to consider verse 13 of 1 Peter 1. Or at least the first part of this verse, where Peter says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind." Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. The early church had many problems, many difficulties, and many distresses. At times she was persecuted. She was discriminated against. She was misunderstood. And in the midst of that, God still wants his people to be holy. He still wants them to show those marks of grace that God has wrought in their hearts. In verse 15, Peter says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct." Live godly lives. How do we do that? Well, the old Keswick teaching, you name it and claim it. We're justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. And they say your sanctification, which is your growth as a Christian, you just claim it. It's passive. And you may get a second blessing to raise you above sin. But when we read the New Testament, you'll find that our call to live godly lives, separated lives, requires work and effort. Paul says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul uses terms, running a race, taking up the sword of the Spirit. That's something you have got to do. In the Acts of the Apostles, save yourselves. Oh, I thought we were saved by faith in Christ. And yet, Peter's saying, save yourselves. A contradiction? No. What's Peter saying? Save yourselves from this wicked and corrupt generation. He's referring to their walk as a Christian. That they would work. Work out your own salvation. With fear and trembling. And one of the ways to do such is watch your mind. Watch your mind. You see, Peter is saying, gird up the loins of your mind. What's he saying there? Well, he's painting a picture. If you lived in a culture where we would wear long robes and you're standing at the bus stop and you see your bus coming and, well, you're a few yards from the bus stop and you see the bus coming and you think, I'd better run, I'm going to catch it. Well, you'd immediately pull up your robes so you can run faster. And this is the picture that Peter is painting for us. In other words, Peter is saying, pull your thoughts together. as a man would pull up his robes in order to run more effectively. He would pull up his robes. Well, if you would run as a Christian, you need to pull up the thoughts of your mind. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, in chapter 6, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." What we think is very important. What goes through our mind is very important. Holiness is a mark of a Christian. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" It's not a call to sinless perfection. There is no such thing. You will battle with sin till the day you die. Romans 7, verse 14 onwards. I'll never leave you. You'll never get rid of the battle with sin while you're in this world. It's not possible. You'll go insane if you think I've reached moral and spiritual perfection. That'll happen the moment you die and you're transported from this world into the next. You will instantly be morally, spiritually, absolutely perfect. But until then, you'll wrestle with sin. And one of the ways to defeat and to challenge the battle with sin is to guard your mind. I want to notice four things concerning the mind this morning. The importance of the mind. The instruction of the mind, the influences of the mind, and the improvement of the mind. There's a difference, isn't there, between the mind and the brain. The brain, your physical organ there that sits between your ears. And then you've got your thoughts. They're different. You can have a brain injury or a brain disease that affects the organ. Like even your heart and your lungs, your liver, your brain can be afflicted. People can have an injury, a motorbike accident. And it'll affect the brain. Which then in turn, of course, can affect the thoughts. But we're looking at the thoughts. The thoughts. You think. You remember. You reason. You can work out logic, mathematics. You can plan. You can remember. Now, an animal has a brain, but it's not sitting there, is it, thinking? It goes by instinct. But we are different. We have reason, logic, remembrance, and the mind is God-given, and it is greater than any computer that a man can invent or form. We only use, people tell us, a small part of the brain and its thoughts that come with it. But the mind is fallen, which is why you have sinful thoughts. It's because you have a fallen nature. Now, a lot of people today talk about the mind and illness, mentally ill. Well, it's a huge disagreement amongst the psychiatrists, even if there is such a thing as mental illness. There are mental distresses. You send a man off to war, and he's lost his colleagues. He's seen terrible things. He may even have done terrible things, and his mind is therefore disturbed. It's highly doubtful where you can just pass it off, well, that's an illness. No, it's grief. It's a natural reaction. You see something horrible, and you're disturbed by it. You witness things you shouldn't have ever seen, and you're troubled by it. And it can affect your mind. Well, the answer is not, here's a pill. These are natural reactions to the mind that can, because we live in a fallen world, can affect our thoughts and therefore affect our feelings and can trouble us. But the Bible gives us an answer of how to deal with things. Most of problems that we encounter, the solution will often depend on your thoughts and how you handle it. The man or woman who becomes very bitter because somebody has done them a terrible thing, and they won't forgive and they won't forget. People say that, don't they? I'll forgive, but I won't forget. You just dig a hole for yourself then. Makes things worse. Because your thoughts are wrong. So we don't just say, doesn't matter what you think. Your thoughts are irrelevant. They do matter. How a Christian thinks is of vital importance. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 7, says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You have a carnal mind. A man's mind, by nature, is against God. That's why your atheists and so-called scientists reject the Bible, many of them. Their forefathers didn't. It's not that they've become so intelligent they dismiss any notion of there being a God. It's because they've a perverse mind. A carnal mind. A corrupt mind. The mind is fallen. But it is important. Secondly, the instruction of the mind. What you put into your mind will impact your actions. People who think bitter thoughts will become bitter in their heart and resentment. People who have murderous thoughts, hateful thoughts. It's rarely that somebody just gets up in the morning and thinks, oh, I think I'll murder somebody today. No, it started well before that. They became an angry person, a resentful person, a bitter person. And the way they think controls their actions. And what you put into your mind is what will eventually come out. Your mind and your thoughts will impact your actions. So we need to be careful how we think, what type of thoughts we have. In Colossians 3, verse 2, Paul says, set your affection, or your mind, things above, not on things of the earth. When a person becomes a Christian, our thoughts change, our interests change. The testimony of many a saint who says, I no longer listen to that anymore. I used to love listening to this or that music, but now it doesn't do anything for me. I don't listen to it. I don't like the lyrics. Sometimes it's a good thing when you can't hear or grasp what they're singing. Just like the music. If you look behind the words, different. The natural mind is enmity against God. But a Christian, I've a different outlook now on life. My thoughts are different. But you've got a, we're going to say sinful nature then, but it's not quite correct terminology. But there's a remainder of sin. You've a new nature. If you're a Christian, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You've a new nature. I am risen with Christ. You become a new person. Same you in a way. Same Peter or Paul or Susie or whatever. And you'll be that in the new heaven and the new earth. But you've a new nature. And therefore you've new thoughts. But the battle with remaining sin is still there. So you have to fight against it. You have to battle against it. You have to pull up your thoughts. And when remaining sin causes you to think bad things, you need to fight against it. You need to say, no, I mustn't think that way. It's not pleasing to the Lord. But God has given us a book, hasn't he? He's given us a Bible. And Christ said, sanctify them. Set them apart. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. And one of the assaults started decades ago against the truth of God's word is to tell people there's no such thing as truth. Came from the academic institutions the world over. There's no such thing as truth. It is what you make it. Whereas the Bible says, no, there is such a thing as truth. And some people would say, empty your mind. Just empty your mind. Take away all thoughts. Never empty your mind. That's not Christian. Don't empty your mind. Contemplate your belly button and empty your mind. Don't do that. And don't fill your mind with corrupt things and evil things and dark things. Because it'll depress the life out of you for a start. And it may result in you doing something that will get you locked away. You don't empty your mind. Rather, fill it with that which is good and proper and healthy and wholesome. And we've got a Bible. And the Bible has shaped the hearts and minds of generations of people. And it has saved many from a deep pit. In Mark 5 and verse 15, and they came to Jesus, and seeing him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, possessed with many devils, and clothed in his right mind. In his right mind. Christ had given that man who was possessed and so afflicted by the devil a right mind. The devil had plagued him. Christ had put him in his right mind. And he does that for every Christian. The mind is set on different thoughts. We've already quoted where Christ said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." You'll never grow as a Christian unless we are in the Bible. And our thoughts are being shaped by the Bible. They'll either be shaped by your daily newspaper or your internet. And that will not be healthy for your mind. Whereas the Christian says, like the psalmist, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And it's the word that will keep you straight. You instruct your mind. Read good books. Read proper things. Like the old saying, you are what you eat. You pick out a McDonald's every day, you'll not be healthy. Oh, but it tastes good. Same with your mind. Fill your mind with God's word, with the Bible, and meditate upon it. Think upon it. We've all been in a situation, I'm sure, where due to time restraints and whatever, we're rushing. And we've got this and this and this to do. And you've not read your Bible, but you want to sit and read your Bible. But everything's a hurry. And you don't get much peace when reading the Bible, because you know, I've got to do this now. So you're reading it hurriedly and without much thought. Whereas the better way, get yourself alone, you and your Bible, and read it. Don't be in a hurry. Contemplate what you read. Sit and read. Read slowly. Don't be in a hurry. And think upon it. We all know what it is to think, don't we? Think upon what you've read. Read it slowly, so it goes into your mind. It's the only way you'll grow as a Christian. To instruct your mind and to feed it with the word of God and good sermons and good books, so you're in a right state of mind. And whenever your mind's assaulted, you stop. Think about what God says. Many Christians in great distress and trouble simply for no other reason than that they don't know the Bible. And the only way to know the Bible is to begin by reading it. Now, we're very blessed since the 15th century, when the Gutenberg press was invented, printing came into our world in a great way, where multiple copies of sheets can be printed. But then as time goes by, technology advances, and now we've got Bibles everywhere. Early church never walked to church with a Bible under their arm and a nice goatskin Bible. We say, well, how did they handle? How did they survive? Well, they heard the word of God read in the churches constantly. They'd memorize, they'd think upon, and they'd contemplate, and they'd listen to sermons. They were being fed by the Bible. Well, we need to take advantage in God's goodly providence in make use of your Bible. Read it. Don't understand it. Keep reading it. The Bible is its own self-interpreter. The Bible interprets the Bible. Get a good commentary. Get Matthew Henry. We've no excuse today. We can download on eSword onto your phone a whole load of commentaries and helps to understand the Bible. Let that instruct your mind. Thirdly, the influences of the mind. The influences of the mind. We will be influenced in our mind. All generation of younger people are being brainwashed. Sometimes accuse the Christians of that, don't they? They say you're brainwashed by the Bible. Well, I hope I am. You're brainwashed by the Bible. Yes. And you're brainwashed by a wicked culture. You're brainwashed by what you see on the internet. You're brainwashed by what your friends say is right. You're brainwashed by what the whole culture is telling you is right. And then you get to a state where people don't know the left from the right. Don't know what they are. Don't know what the purpose of life is. I'd rather be brainwashed by the Bible than by a wicked, dark culture that constantly changes every generation or so. We're influenced by what we see and by what we hear and by what we read. Therefore, it's important to say, well, I will see to it that my mind is influenced by the right things. How do I know what's right? Well, start with just you and your Bible and read the Bible. That's right. Claims to be God's inspired word. Peter says, holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. Better to be influenced by what God says than what the world says. So the Christian says, I mustn't be influenced by bad things. You be influenced by the people that are around you. You'll be influenced by the people that are around you. So be careful who you associate with. Be careful who you mix with. Bad company corrupts good manners. So be careful. The early church, in all its afflictions, were never alone. The only time you were alone as a Christian is when you were put outside of the church for ungodly practice and behavior. And if you refuse to repent, the Apostle Paul says, hand such a one over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. What Paul is saying, therefore, is put them out of the church. They won't listen to the pleadings of God's people. Whereas it's important that people belong to a church and have godly company and godly friends, particularly young Christians. So you're influenced by godly people who walk the path and they can look out for you. And as I've said, most problems are mind-related. How we respond to the affliction. God is sovereign. And God may sometimes bring you into a dark path. And a trying path. And you may not know the reasons why. Therefore, the importance of truth is paramount. Isaiah says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So when trials come and difficulties and dark providences, the Christian says, I'm trusting. I don't understand why. And it's not wrong to ask why. God, why has this happened? The great prophets in the Old Testament often asked why. The psalmist often asked why. And Job asked why. And Job was never told, as far as we know in this world, why he went through what he went through. There wasn't an answer. Sometimes there is an answer. But often there's not an answer. But there is trust. There is trust. And Isaiah says he's kept in perfect peace. He's stayed on God. He's resting in God. His thoughts and his imagination are trusting. He doesn't know why, but he knows whatever it is, it's only temporary. He knows there's better things to come. He knows there's a new heaven and a new earth. He knows there's a God who sympathizes with all our weaknesses and all our frailty, and who was tempted like in all points as we are, yet without sin. Christian knows that. So be influenced, not by the world, but be influenced by your Bible. Most Christians today will work in an environment where they may be the only Christian. There isn't anybody else, it's just me. And you've got all the godlessness and the fickle and carnal conversation. Don't be influenced by it. Even if you have to sit alone and be an odd bod because you don't conform. Paul says in Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold so you become just like everybody else. Watch your thoughts. Don't get sucked in to the godless conversation. Be not conformed to this world. Paul provides the answer. You see, the Bible doesn't often just give commandments, it provides the how. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. So the Bible influences you. Washes your godless day amongst godless people. That's why it's important to keep the Lord's day, isn't it? And keep it holy. To forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as Hebrews reminds us. Be influenced by the right things. And so we've all spent time in people's company and you think, boy, you don't do me any good. You may have to pull away. Lastly, the improvement of the mind. The improvement of the mind. Those who are Christians, God is making more and more holy as time goes on. And your thoughts improve. People will have a messed up life because their thoughts are wrong. But then in God's sovereign mercy and grace, they become a Christian. Well, they don't just stay there at level one. And never make any improvements or developments. No, they improve. They learn. Peter says, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they're growing. They're like a plant. They'll go through periods where their growth seems to be stunted. Don't seem to be moving. Winters are like that, don't they? Plants are like that. Winter comes and they flop off. Spiritual life can be like that sometimes as well. You might go through a winter period. But hold on, keep trusting. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. But you need to improve your mind. Resist the attacks of Satan. Because around is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he'll lock him up because he's a defeated foe. Read Ephesians 6. God has given us the armor to resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, says James. That's something you have to do. And your heart. It's, if you're a Christian, your heart has been cleansed, washed, made a new person. But remaining sin is still there, rising. You have to push it down. You have to resist the attacks of remaining sin. You need to be on the guard, on the watch. Because if you're going to improve and grow as a Christian, you need to be in the Bible. With godly people. Reading good books. Don't be like the person who says, I read nothing but the Bible. And then you're scratching your head thinking, what does this mean? Or you don't even do it because it just goes over you. We need instruction. You know, Paul, one of the gifts to the church is pastors and teachers. Because we need instruction. And that's true of every area of study. We need help. God's given pastors and teachers. And you need to find good pastors and good teachers. And some of them write books and read them. Turn off the TV. Get a book and read it to improve your mind and your thoughts and make progress. John Wesley sent out a lot of preachers in his day. But one preacher, he rebuked very strongly and told him he'll make no progress even as a preacher. Reason being, John Wesley said, I never knew a man who read so little. So we need to read. download good books. You're not sure what's what? Ask people. Improve your mind. So those are just a few thoughts on this text. The improvement of the mind, the instruction of the mind, the influences of the mind, and the improvement of the mind. Well, maybe obey what Peter says. Gird up the loins of your mind. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the wonderful gift of thought that thou hast given to us. We pray that thou wouldst help us to have right thoughts, that our actions may be correct and true. Help us to think often on thy truth and sanctify us through it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.